pleased at this time to be joined by the general manager of Toronto FC, Tim Bezbatchenko. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. How different will this team be than the Tigres team that you faced in earlier in CONCACAF in terms of tactics, in terms of approach to the game? How different is Club America?
You know, they're similar in the sense that both teams like to dictate the game. They like to have the ball. They have the quality on their sides from a roster standpoint to keep the ball even when they're under pressure. They're going to be also similar in that they like to use the flanks. They really like to spread the game out, I think, a little bit more than in MLS, where a lot of teams are trying to win the center of the park, and sort of that dictates sort of who will, you know, be the ultimate winner. Whereas in Mexico, and certainly with Tigres and Club America, they're spreading the flanks out. Sometimes they play in sort of a 4-4-2, and they get wide with overlapping guys, their fullbacks, and Ibarra on the right and Cecilio Dominguez on the left are two of their good players, that, and they're getting into wide positions and they're crossing the ball, and they have players in the middle who can finish. So in some ways, it's similar to Tigres. And they're both, they've obviously been two teams, the most successful teams, and in that they both made the finals and last year and their playoffs. And Club America lost to Tigres in a penalty shootout, unlike we lost to Seattle a couple years ago. So it'll be a similar challenge. And Club America, as you said, has a massive footprint. They play in a historic stadium at altitude, and I think they have somewhere like 12 titles in Mexico. So clearly a matchup that we've been salivating really over and for the last couple of years, trying to compare our club to a club like Club America in North America, and that's really important to us.
Now, Toronto FC played Club America during part of your preseason preparations. I believe it was three 30-minute sessions, I think. They scored six goals, you scored three, but I mean, to call it 6-3 is kind of, it wasn't like it was a regular match. But were you guys able to, you know, beyond sort of the general idea of how soccer is played in that league and the idea of using the full width of the field, was there any scouting value in those matches at all?
Absolutely. Just even the individual matchups on the field. I mean, collectively, we'll talk about formations and the areas of the field that they like to exploit. But at the end of the day, a lot of it comes down to the individual battles on the field. You know, they have Peralta up top, who's even though he's 34 years old, he's one of the, you know, icons of Mexican soccer over the last, you know, decade or 15 years. And he's up top still scoring goals. And so our center backs were able to see how, you know, his movements, where he likes to run in behind, how he likes to find the ball, you know, which foot he prefers. Those are types of things that certainly our players will go back and look at film, and our coaches already have. And it's key. But as you said, it was during preseason. It was in our first couple of days, first being down in Mexico at the Mexican National Training Center. And so really the first sort of 30 to 60 minutes were, I think, a more accurate reflection of the two teams, whereas the last 30, I think the lungs really were grasping for air at that point, at that altitude.
Tim, I want to ask you about Nick Haglund, who's out 6 weeks. How are you guys going to compensate? And I'm guessing that's why you were so focused on adding some depth this offseason.
Yeah. Obviously, Nick's been a massive part of our success the last few years, you know, at first-round draft pick, and he's just really grown into the game. And he's not a guy who's ever lacked confidence, and he steps in at big moments and has even scored a big goal for us down in the playoffs in 2016. So him going down has hurt us, but at the same time, when we do play with a back line of five, we've kind of been switching back and forth between a five and a four. We should have enough guys to kind of fill in. Him being down, and then as well as Eric Zabaleta having a little bit of a sort of an injury over the last sort of in and out of the lineup for the last sort of two or three weeks, it's put us in a little bit of a jam. But what we've done is Gregory Vanderwill, who's grown up mostly as a as actually a center back at his academy, and then he moved to right back later on in his sort of developmental stage. We've moved him into sort of a right center back position, and we'll just have to obviously fill in. Guys will step up, and we have a deep team. We've shown that over the last sort of 12 to 18 months, and so I think tonight you'll see, you know, certainly a competent lineup, and guys will be able to step up and fill in for Nick. But it's definitely a loss for us. We're going to try to get Nick healthy and ready to go.
The fact that you can take Gregory Vanderweel and play him in that center back position, I would think part of that in a lot of ways owes to the fact that you've got a fair amount of depth in your midfield as well, correct? And you can almost adjust through the midfield what you might miss having Gregory inside as opposed to outside.
Absolutely. And then also, you know, we picked up Oro, who can also play out wide, and he's been able to show his flexibility. He's played both on the right flank and on the left flank. And so the flexibility allows us to put Oro, switch him maybe from the left to the right, and slot in Gregory Vanderweel in sort of a right center back position, either in a three or a two. And Greg is a really good passer out of the back, and I think that is something maybe to look for tonight when you're watching the game. Is not only does he have good defensive instincts, but he allows us to kind of start our offense through the back and maybe play a penetrating pass into the midfield, and that's something that you're gonna get when you move someone who's more skillful on the ball sort of into those positions along the back line. Is that you can start your attack a little bit earlier than when maybe you have some center backs that are really focused on defending less so than maybe sort of starting the passing into the midfield and breaking lines.
Now, you mentioned that you will be playing in altitude, obviously, when you go to Azteca, and that'll be next week. The second leg, I believe the second leg is next week. So mm-hmm. Well, obviously you want to win this game 9-0. Everybody does. But what is the plan? What is the strategic plan for this game for TFC?
I think it's, or I know it is, it's not to concede a goal and to go out and win the game. Mm-hmm. You know, the road goal in these home and away series are critical. The silver lining of having the away match, the second leg away, is that you actually have the last chance at the tiebreak, right, where the tiebreaker is away goal. So the last chance for us is that we'll have that when we go down to Stadio Azteca. So this game is really about managing the game and then taking the chances when they come. But limiting an away goal for or more than one probably is a key to the game plan tonight.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things our friend Kurt Larson points this out in The Sun today. You know, it's funny because you win the MLS title, and I think a lot of people. I mean, I think there's really the thing that really intrigues people and excites people about this is I think that the fan base here is smart enough to understand what it means to play and beat a Mexican team, and I think the performance you've gotten out of Javenko and Bradley and Altidor. But especially Javenko in these games, it demonstrates even more of a return on just what a good investment that has been, doesn't it? Because we talked about this, Tim, I think before the first game against Tigres, and you said, look, one of the reasons we bring these guys in, one of the reasons, for example, you have Gregory Vanderweel in, is you've got guys who've got experience playing in big stadiums and hostile environments where stuff happens, and you're starting to see that with these guys, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're pitching to these players to come to the league, you're talking about what you're trying to do and accomplish. And it's not just this conversation about we want to be the best. It's we want to win Champions League and what that takes. When you can just look at what it takes and at the past sort of lack of success in MLS, and it's unique players who in the moment can go down to Mexico and not be intimidated, who played in environments at Juventus or PSG or wherever it is that they've been environments that are just as hostile, they're just as pressure filled. And so these are the games the players live for. I mean, they Michael Bradley talks about sort of obviously taking one game at a time, but you know, again, he these are the games you look forward to in your career. I mean, there's probably, you know, 5 to 10 matches really over the course of your career that you probably say, hey, that game was pivotal, or that game was we were playing against a team that was as good as us or better in from a roster standpoint, from a pressure packed environment. So, 100%. These, you know, Giovinco for sure. Altidore has stepped up, been massive for us both in the playoffs and in this tournament so far. But the other players like Jonathan Soria has also stepped up. I mean, for me, he's really elevated his game all the way from last year in the playoffs to now, and he's been one of the most consistent performers. So he showed that even in the biggest environments that he can perform. So I think the collective level of the group has really taken a step up and sort of own this time, this period, this opportunity, and hopefully we can continue that tonight.
You mentioned that there's going to be obviously a ton of excitement going down to Mexico and playing. Do you think that's going to be a factor playing in that stadium that holds over 100,000?
You know, I think it'll be a factor. I think that it'll allow our guys to get up for a match, and if they need anything even to get up for. You know, Tigres' stadium is known as the volcano, and because it's one of the loudest in Mexico, so hopefully that will have prepared us at least for the noise level. Even though that's 40,000, this is, I think, 80 or 90,000. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually talked with the Montreal Impact, who played down in Azteca either last year or the year before, and they said, even though it's big, it's actually, you know, it's sort of, the altitude is actually the biggest factor, more so than the noise and the fans. So I think we've prepared well enough to the extent that we could for the altitude. We trained there in preseason. We played in Colorado already this year. We have some ways that we replicate altitude at our training over the last couple of weeks. And so hopefully that we were prepared for what it feels like to sort of be, you know, 15, 20, 30% less oxygen.
Tim, how do you prepare for that? I'm intrigued by this, where you've been able to prepare here for the lack of altitude. Is it just the pace of practice and really tried to work on, you know, oxygen efficiency, or how would you go about doing that without giving away state secrets?
No, I mean, there's new technologies and there's new methods that various restraints and constraints in practice, both on the field, but also in the gym, and places you can go, that replicate this type of environment. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give these players and this team the best opportunity to win the game and get a result. And so, you know, we've really been planning for the last 18 months for this moment, or even 2 years, and from preseason prep into to even, you know, the number of days that we're going down there before. And so hopefully it pays off. You know, that's all you can do is really set it up for the players. And at the end of the day, it's the players that'll determine the outcome when the whistle blows.